Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you on Mountain. I pray everybody's doing well. I pray everybody's been going by the guidelines, staying inside, wearing masks, gloves if you have them, when you have to run to the store or you got to run out to the bathroom or whatever. Again, I thank God for you. I'm thankful that nobody in our family or nobody in our church family, to my knowledge, has gotten this virus that's going on, this pandemic. We have a lot to thank God for. It's because of His divine protection. And, we're back today. And this morning, we're going to speak out of the book of Acts, chapter 9. Question before we get into the message. Question is, how many of you and myself have ever been reluctant when God asked us to do something? Let me ask that question one more time. How many of us, when God asks us to do something for Him, has been reluctant when it comes to doing it? I would venture to say we've all been guilty at one time or another, saying, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, I don't think I can handle that. In fact, Lord, get somebody else to do it. I don't want to do it." Well, today we're going to be looking at a fellow in the Bible that was a little reluctant, but he did obey. And let me just say, it's always good to obey God. But we'll get into the message. And again, our text will be out of the book of Acts, chapter 9. We're going to begin with verse 10. And the title of the message this morning is going to be Ananias, the Reluctant Servant. Acts chapter 9, and we'll begin reading the Word of God beginning with verse 10. And this is what the Word of God says. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." And then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith," in other words, right then, "and arose and was baptized." Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We're thankful for this opportunity to come to share your precious word of truth. Father, as we share the message this morning, I pray you give me the words to say. Bring to my remembrance those things that I've been studying and laid upon my heart to say. Let me preach with boldness and authority those truths. Father, may ears be receptive to receive your word this morning. Lord, if there's needs spiritually as far as salvation or rededication, baptism, whatever, Lord, it may be, may your Holy Spirit convict and convince, and may people receive and be receptive to the pleading of the Spirit. May they be obedient, do as you would have them to do. Father, we pray for everyone here at church. We pray for church family, Lord, we lift them before your throne and just ask for your divine protection from this coronavirus. We pray, Lord, you will just protect our families. Lord, we just pray that we'll be a light, a witness, Lord, to those, your faithfulness and your goodness to your people and your church. Pray for those that are sick and afflicted, those that have ailments, those that are having procedures in the body. We just pray that, Lord, you just return to a much-wanted health. Again, Lord, we lift up this nation, Lord. I pray, Lord, that eyes will be open during this pandemic. They can see how your hand has been placed upon this country. Lord, may we repent as a nation and come back to you, Lord. May you heal this land. Again, Lord, thank you for allowing me this privilege and honor of being here to share your word. May your will be done. May everything said and done honor and glorify you. For in Christ's name we do pray and ask these things. Amen. All right. Again, great things are happening in the fledgling little church in Jerusalem. Thousands are being saved and God is blessing them with miracles and his power. That is the bright side. But on the dark side, a man named Saul was wreaking havoc in the church. He was traveling from place to place, persecuting the early Christians. He was having them arrested and even participating in their deaths. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. Like it said, he held the clothes. But in the midst of all of this, the Lord, in his grace, saved Saul as he traveled to Damascus to arrest more believers. His conversion was nothing short of miraculous. Let me ask you, if you had one of those conversion experiences, I doubt me and you and everybody else will ever have one quite like the Apostle Paul, but I'll tell you what, when the Lord calls you to salvation, you know it. Amen? Anyways, with the Lord Jesus himself speaking directly to Saul and calling him to be saved, Acts 9, 8 and 9 tell us that after Saul saw the brightness of the Lord, that he was left blind. And Saul was led into Damascus. And he was left in that condition for 3 days. Apparently, Saul spent those 3 days in prayer and fasting, according to Acts 9, 9. Of course, God did not save Saul to leave him blinded in Damascus. God saved him for a great purpose. Therefore, the Lord spoke to a man named Ananias who lived in Damascus. And God told him to go to Saul that he might receive his sight. It is this man Ananias that I want to consider this time, this morning. He's one of those special people who steps out of the wings onto the stage of the Bible, and just as quickly as he appears, he disappears again. Ananias is one of those unsung heroes of faith. So with that said, let's look at the Word of God and speak on Ananias, the reluctant servant. Verse 10, may we read it again. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Let's notice how Ananias was living. The Bible tells us that he was a disciple. That word means a pupil or learner. This word tells us that some great things about this man. First of all, he was a saved man. How do we know that? Because he was a disciple. He had placed his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was a saved man. He was a disciple. To be a disciple, it leads us to believe that, of course, he was one. He was converted. There was only one disciple that was lost, and everybody knows his name, right? His name was Judas. Not only was Ananias a saved man, but he was also a growing man. As I said, the word disciple means a learner. This man is growing in the Lord and in his word. He's living the right kind of life. Let me ask you, you that are saved, are you growing in the Lord? Growing in the word of God? Are you living the right kind of life that brings honor and glory to God? Well, Ananias, that's how he was living. He was a disciple. So if we can gain anything from learning about him, let's learn to be the disciple the Lord saved us to be. Let's learn to be on fire for God. Let's learn all we can about the Lord. And you can't do it if you don't read your Bible and you don't pray and you don't come to church. You say, well, preacher, we can't come to church now. Listen, you don't have to be in a building to have church. You can be anywhere to praise God. This is the kind of person that the Lord chooses to use. He uses saved vessels that are cleansed by His Word. He uses those who are growing in Him. If you want the Lord to use your life, then be sure, first of all, you're saved, and then separate yourself from the world and grow in the Lord. I promise you, He will use you for His service. What else about Ananias can I tell you? Well, he was also someone that was listening. As soon as the word of the Lord came to this servant, he was able to respond, "Behold, I am here, Lord." This tells us that Ananias was a man who was listening to the voice of God. He was God's man, and he was listening for God's voice to show him the steps he was to take in life. Are you listening to God through the Holy Spirit and through His Word? What a lesson for all of us believers. May we always be able to say, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." Too often we're unable to hear His voice when He speaks because we're generally off somewhere doing our own thing when He calls us. The only right place for any servant of God is to be here. That is to be present and accounted for when He calls for you. Beloved, many have gone AWOL this morning. Make sure it never happens to you. Friend, it always pays to be in a listening relationship with the Lord. And then Ananias was leaning. He responds by calling Jesus Lord. This tells me something about this man, Ananias. He's a man who is surrendered in his walk with the Lord. Here is a man who has turned the reins of his life over to the Lord. Have you done that, beloved? Have you turned the reins of your life over to God? Have you completely submitted and surrendered yourself to His will for your life? This is a key area that needs to be addressed in the lives of many believers. You see, there are many who want to claim Jesus as their Savior. That is, they want to get out of the jail free card. Yet they still want to run their lives as they see fit. Can I tell you, it doesn't work that way. The Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus is Lord of all. And if that is true, and we know it's true, in your life, then the Lord can use you for His glory. If it isn't, then you will sit on the sidelines while He uses others. Listen, when I was in school, I loved athletics. I was an athlete. I played. Don't look like it now. I know what you're saying. But I played football, and I threw the discus and shot put and track. So I was active in athletics. And the reason I'm telling you this is I never was second string. I didn't want to be second string or third string. I always wanted to start. I always wanted to be active in the game. Beloved, it ought to be that way with all of us as God's children, as believers. We should want to be active for the Lord. We should want the Lord to use us for His glory. So again, Ananias is the kind of servant the Lord is looking for. He separated, he surrendered, and sold out to God. He set the standard for the rest of us this morning. We will see this as the kind of man God can use. From what we have seen so far, can you honestly say, the Lord can use my life for His glory? I pray you can say that. I know we're works in progress, but I'm here to tell you, if we'll surrender and submit, He will use us. Now let's look at Ananias, the skeptical servant. That's a question I asked you before we began. Have you ever been skeptical or reluctant when it came to God asking you to do something for Him? We'll be looking at verses 11 through 16. So let's look at verses 11 and 12. The Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, And I seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Here is the servant's command from God. The Lord had a special mission for Ananias. He wants to use him to reach out to this newly converted Saul. In fact, God had already shown Saul that a man named Ananias would be coming by the restorer's side. Now, to Ananias, this command probably didn't make much sense. After all, Saul hated Christians. He'd been arresting them and putting them to death. Now God wants this man to go to Saul all alone. He wants him to put his hand on this murderer. What a strange command. Has God ever asked you to do something that you thought was strange? I'll be the first to tell you. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was content back home in Arkansas, pastoring Little Baptist Church, a little place called Parent, Arkansas, Unity Missionary Baptist Church. When God laid it on my heart to go west, believe me, I would have never in my dreams even thought of Las Vegas. But here I am, and I thank God for the opportunity to serve in here. I'm so thankful to be the pastor of Lone Mountain Baptist Church. Las Vegas has become my home. Yes, I'm from Arkansas, and I'm proud to be from Arkansas, but listen to me. Las Vegas is my home. Las Vegas is where God has put me. This is where I love to be. Often the command of the Lord did not make sense. Did not make sense for Noah to build an ark in the middle of dry land. Didn't make sense for Moses to strike a rock to get water in the desert. Didn't make sense for God to command his people to march into a heavily defended Canaan and take the land. It didn't make sense to march around Jericho 7 times for 7 days in order to defeat the city. But that is what the Lord commanded in each instance. As I said, God's commands do not always make sense. They're always right, beloved. We should therefore resolve that regardless of whether we understand it or not, we will do just what God says. After all, the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. Notice Ananias' concern. When Ananias hears a command from the Lord, he balks at it. Look at verse 13 and 14. And Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." Again, he reminds the Lord of all the evil things he's heard about this man. So notice how he tries to reason with God to find a way to wiggle out of the things he simply does not want to do. Have you ever been there? Sure you have. So have I. I wonder if he thought God didn't already know about the things Saul had been doing. I'm sure that Ananias was afraid of what might happen to him if he went to meet Saul. I think another part of him may have been prejudiced against this man named Saul. After all the damage Saul had done to the church, why should a believer reach out to him? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God said so. God tells you to do something. Beloved, do it. Before we point fingers at Ananias, aren't we guilty of the same thing from time to time? We want to serve the Lord, but when he asks us to do something we think is difficult or unpleasant, we'll try to give him reasons why we can't do it. Have you ever been there? Sure you have. God may want us to forgive somebody that's injured us. He may want us to reach out to someone of a different race. He might be calling someone to witness to a neighbor with whom there's been a disagreement over the years. There are thousands of other situations that come to mind, but there are times when the Lord will ask us to do things that we simply do not want to do. My advice to you and to myself is that we just go ahead and do what the Lord wants us to do, because I can assure you, you'll wish you had if you don't. Beloved, understand. Sometimes God asks us to do some hard things. And if we try to do those things in our own strength, it's going to come to naught, according to the word. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. But if we rest in Him and rely upon Him, we go in the Spirit of God and be obedient, humbly do what He asks us to do. He's going to be glorified and honored, and we're going to be blessed. Notice verse 15 with me. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Notice Ananias' consolation. Thank God that he's so patient with his children. Amen. He listens to the complaints of Ananias, and then God addresses him by telling his servant he has special plans for Saul. God tells Ananias that Saul's going to fulfill a very special place in the kingdom work of God. Think about that. God had a job for Saul of Tarsus, who would become Paul, who would write over half the books of the New Testament, God's word. God tells Ananias that Saul's going to fulfill this special place in the kingdom. And by fulfilling this request from the Lord, Ananias is going to be participating with God in His work in a big way. You never know how God's going to use you. You never know when God asks you to do something, what part you're going to have a part of. You just never know. When the Lord calls us to do something that is hard, unpleasant, or difficult, He doesn't always let us know how it will turn out up front. However, down the road, we'll see the Lord, how the Lord used that event to help someone, or even how that event helped us. I think that we, like Ananias, forget that God knows a lot more than we will ever know. He plans our path. Again, our sole duty is what? Follow that plan and that path. January 14th, 1987. I was at one of the lowest points of my life. In fact, I was injured. I was told I would be on disability. I would walk with a limp forever. And that's just the way it would be. After surgery, after my pastor, then Brother Leroy Hill came to the hospital and looked me in the eyes. I was laying there in that bed, bent over, and all I saw was this old creature's face. And asked me a stern, pertinent question, are you saved? I knew I wasn't saved, but I lied to him and said yes. So I don't think so. Had a word of prayer with me and walked out the door. God used that to begin to deal with my heart. Me and Lori, Wes, and they moved in with my grandmother because we needed someone there to take care of me during the day. And I just happened to turn on the TV. It's daytime. And I turned on this program. And there was this woman sharing her testimony. This woman's testimony, everything she said, it was like I was looking in a mirror. It was me. She was describing. And then she told me how she called on the name of the Lord, how He had saved her. And right there, that moment, I got on my knees. And the best I knew how, I invited Jesus into my heart. I recognized I was a sinner and that He went to the cross. Hey, the penalty of my sin. And right then and there, He saved me. I've never been the same since. He changed my life. And the reason I told you this story is I can't remember her name. In a long time. I'm getting old and I'm losing my mind, I guess. So memory's not good. I don't know her name, but she had a part in sharing that testimony that led me to Jesus. I assure you, one day in heaven, I will know who she is, and I will be able to thank her. Well, you see, you never know the influence you have on people. You never know how God's going to use you in his work. So be obedient. Obey him. I recall a time my grandfather had just painted the back porch. Again, I wasn't a very big child. I always had a little meanness in me, if you will. He painted that morning, and anyways, I was out in the backyard. I got feeding his chickens or something. It came time to go in the house, and as I was walking toward the back, he saw me and said, "No, go around to the front. Go around to the front." I just kept walking toward the back porch. He said, "Hey, I just painted that. It's wet. You can't go through the back door. Go around." I got right up to the steps, and he said, "Stop and go around." Can I tell you what would have happened had I went ahead with my plan and went on into the house from the back porch? One, I would have got wet paint everywhere, and I assure you, he would have busted my tail. But I stopped when he finally got my attention and I went around. Again, it reminds me, how often are we like Saul, wanting to go our own way instead of the way God wants us to? Again, he doesn't want our carefulness. He wants our obedience. Now let's take a look at verses 17 and 18. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So let's take a look at Ananias, submissive servant. Look at his response. Bible simply says he went his way. What does that mean, to go his way? He got busy doing the thing that the Lord called him to do. He was obedient and got to the task immediately. What has God called you and me to do? First, he's called us to salvation. He expects us to be born again. He wants us to be saved. But after we're saved and we follow him in scriptural baptism and are planted in his local New Testament church, he wants us to serve him. He wants us to study the Word of God. He wants us to pray. He wants us to fellowship with one another. He wants us to share the faith. He wants us to tell others about his saving grace. Are you doing that? Are you getting to the business of doing what God's called you to do this morning? The blessing, the way he responded, he went his way immediately. This is a blessing, because it reminds us of how we ought to respond to God. Even when we do not know how things are going to work out, a lot of times we don't, but we are to respond to what God tells us to do. Even when it may seem that God's leading us in a path that is challenging, it's difficult and painful, and by the way, that's usually the way it always goes. Whatever he asks us to do is going to be challenging. A lot of times it's going to be painful. And a lot of times we just don't want to do that. But God knows what he's doing when he asks us to do those things. We just have to be obedient and faithful, doing what he tells us to do. We've got to learn to respond humbly in obedience. I put that word humbly there. Because our problem is most of the time we're not humble. Most of the time we're prideful and we're arrogant. Oh, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. No. We humbly come before him. Lord, I ain't much, but I'm yours. Use me for your glory. Use me in any capacity. Whatever it is, here am I, Lord, as Isaiah said, send me. Be obedient. Again, this is a response of faith. Listen, Ananias, I'm sure, didn't even want to deal with Saul, but God told him to do it. And by faith, he said, you know what, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to do what you called me to do. I'm going to submit and be obedient. I'm just going to do what you ask me. Faith. It's also a response of the Lord's love. Why do we serve him? Why are we here? Why do we come Sunday after Sunday? Why do we read our Bibles every morning in our devotional time? Why do we show up at church on Tuesdays and have prayer and then pray the rest of the days of the week at home or in the car? Why do we, if God opens the door and puts someone before us, why do we share the faith with him? Share Christ. I'll tell you why. It's because we love him. We do it out of love. Beloved, it's also the response of blessing. Over in John chapter 14, verse 21, this is what it says. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We keep his commandments. We're showing the Lord that we love him. Do you love him this morning? Notice his reaction. Ananias went to the house where Saul was. He entered in and he touched him. And he did something that must have touched the heart of Saul like nothing he had ever heard in his life. Because of the first word he had ever heard to a fellow believer, he heard him say this, brother. I remember the first time I was called brother after I was saved. What a blessing. Surely Saul was unsure as to what the future held for him. When the Jews found out that he had received Jesus, they would hate him. Surely the church would hate him for all the things he had done to them. Saul probably felt as though he fit in nowhere. You ever felt that way, beloved? Yet this old disciple touches him so tenderly and embraces him as a brother in Christ. What an encouragement this must have been to Saul. Oh, beloved, remember where we were before we came to Christ? We're called brother, sister. Wasn't it something? People embrace us with the love of God. Ananias teaches us the kind of reaction we should have to the commands that the Lord gives in our life. Ananias could have been bitter. He could have refused to go. And if he did go, he could have went grudgingly and half-heartedly. But he didn't. He went in the Spirit of God and made a difference in the life of Saul. Friends, that's what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. It's about him using us to make a difference in the lives of those around us. I wonder if we would be able to do what Ananias did. Are there those out there that you grudgingly don't want to have anything to do with them? Maybe your lifestyle is not what you think it ought to be. Maybe they're living in gross immoral sin, and by the way, sin is sin. It doesn't matter what kind of sin. Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales. And he received his sight forward and arose and was baptized. First of all, let me just say this. When a person comes to the saving knowledge of Christ at the moment of conversion, their spiritual blindness is healed immediately. The scales of sin fall off, and we are converted. And after conversion, the moment we receive Jesus into our heart, at that very moment, the next thing we want to do is be obedient and obey the command of God to follow him in baptism. You say, does baptism have something to do with salvation, Pastor John? No, it has nothing to do with conversion. It has nothing to do with the new birth. No. When a person calls upon the name of the Lord, they're saved right then and right there. But what baptism does is it identifies us as a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all baptism does. It has no saving power. Because Ananias obeyed the Lord, Saul was healed from his blindness. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was used by God as no other man since Jesus himself. Perhaps Ananias never knew in his lifetime the full extent of what his obedience meant. But I know that Jesus Christ knew. And when the rewards are handed out at the judgment seat of Christ, Ananias is going to be compensated many times over just for being obedient. Simply doing what the Lord told him to do. As we close this thought concerning this little-known Bible character, I wonder if you and I can honestly say that we are servants that God can use. Can you say that with me this morning? Are we truly servants that God can use? Are we quick to obey his slightest command? Or do we like to try and change his mind concerning his plans for us? I'm sure all of us, at some time or another, can be guilty of that very thing. Or do we like to try and change his mind concerning his plans? This was a tactic tried by Moses. He threw excuse after excuse, some five and all, at the Lord. Remember the story there in Exodus 3 and 4? God told him he was going to deliver his people out of bondage from Egypt. Remember the excuses he made. Oh, I can't. Lord, not me. Let somebody else do it. Oh, Lord, I'm an unlearned man. Oh, Lord, I can't speak. I stutter. Excuse after excuse after excuse. It's a wonder God didn't get angry. But God's patient with his enemies, beloved. While Moses was a great man, that is the one area in which we do not want to be anything like him. God tells us to do something. Be obedient. Maybe God's telling you to do something you're not too wild about this morning. My advice to you is just do it. It'll get done. And you might as well be the one who gets the blessing from doing it. Amen. If there's needs, you call upon the name of the Lord. The greatest need anyone will ever have in this life is Jesus. If you're under the sound of my voice and you've yet to call upon him for salvation, understand, Jesus loves you. How much does he love you, preacher? He loves me so much that he went to a cross and died in my place to pay my sin debt. He loves you so much that he was willing to pay the price for you so that you might be forgiven of all sin and reconciled to God. He loves you so much that he has a place in heaven for all eternity that you might spend with him. And all you have to do is call upon the precious name of the Lord and receive it into your heart. So please, if there's something God's calling you to do, especially salvation, do it. If God is calling you to some service, asking you to do something for him, be obedient and do it. Submit yourself. He will be with you. And he will use you. Don't be reluctant in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, simple message, but oh God, the word. Oh, I'm thankful for it and mean it. Father, I pray for all of us here at Home Mountain. We'll never be guilty of being reluctant to serve you. Lord, we will always be ready when you speak to us, do what you ask us to do. Help us, Lord, to be strong in the faith and strong in obedience. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do the things we're supposed to do as the children. Again, Lord, we never know the influence we're going to have wherever you send us. Never know the influence we're going to have in whatever you ask us to do, Father. But may we just be found faithful and obedient to what you tell us to do. Lord, if there's one that knows you as Lord and Savior, let this be the day to save before it's eternally too late. Again, Father, strengthen us as your children. Help us to humble ourselves before your mighty hand. Lord, may we grow to be your servant and your Savior to do. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for this time. Amen. All right, well, Mountain, again, I want to encourage you. Keep praying. It does look that there might be a possibility. Maybe by May 3rd, we might be able to meet in church capacity. Of course, we have to wait on the governor. But Lord willing, it looks like many things are going to open up. So now we'll be answering prayer. I don't know about you, but I miss being here at church. I miss seeing your faces. So please continue to pray. And let's ask God to open the doors again so that we can sing. Take care of yourselves again. Go by the guidelines. You've got a mask, wear it. Have distance between you and others, at least 6 to 10 feet. Wear gloves. And again, God's in control, and this is going to pass. All right, God bless you. Until we're able to see each other again, see you.